Good afternoon from Midland Beach out in Staten Island. On the update this Wednesday, then there was just one. Long Island has now become the latest region to begin easing restrictions that were put in place to curb the spread. As they enter their first phase of the state's four-step reopening process, leaving New York City as the only region that is still on lockdown. Construction, manufacturing, agriculture, and retail with curbside pickup will be permitted in Phase 1. We'll have the latest details. In other news, a man that's matching the description of University of Connecticut senior Peter Manfredonia that's been wanted in the killings of two people in Connecticut was seen in northeastern Pennsylvania, but now his long search came up empty. Meanwhile, the wife of a man that was killed in a machete attack said that Manfredonia was looking for a young woman he knew when he began his rampage. The NHL, they'll be abandoning the rest of their regular season and go straight into the playoffs with 24 teams instead of 16 if it's able to resume play. But the decision by Commissioner Bettman is not a guarantee that games are coming back. And would you get a COVID-19 vaccine? According to a new survey from the Associated Press and the Center for Public Affairs Research, only about half of Americans say that they would get a vaccine if the scientists working furiously to create one succeed. Another 31% simply aren't sure, while 1 in 5 say that they'd refuse. This is the update, Wednesday, May the 27th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Wednesday to you. Brandon Julian here, the host of The Update, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Continuing our Staten Island series, today we are at Midland Beach, which normally on a day like this, with the temperatures in near 80 degrees, would be a perfect day to go sunbathing and, you know, wade around in the water. But the clouds and fog have really put a damper on what was supposed to be a rather good day to go to the beach. We have a lot of news to get to this Wednesday, of course, including the latest coronavirus developments. Long Island has now become the latest region in the state of New York to begin easing restrictions put in place to curb the spread as they are entering the first phase of the state's four-step reopening process, leaving New York City as the only region that is still on lockdown. The governor, Cuomo, announced yesterday that Nassau and Suffolk counties could begin reopening parts of their economy after non-essential businesses were shuttered for 2 months. Construction, manufacturing, agriculture, and retail with curbside pickup will be permitted in Phase 1. Several popular beaches on Long Island opened last weekend with new rules for reduced capacity and also social distancing. Of course, there are already several other counties north of the city that have entered the first phase also of the reopening plan. Yesterday's development came after Governor Cuomo said that the Mid-Hudson region had met the criteria for reopening. Those include deaths and hospitalizations. Mayor de Blasio said that the city has hired 1,700 contact tracers, a crucial step in getting the city closer to meeting the reopening requirements. And the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange reopened for the first time in 2 months. Traders must wear masks and stay 6 feet apart. There's a pharmacist and a used car salesman that have now been arrested on charges that they designed frauds to capitalize on the search for PPEs during the pandemic. The charges were announced yesterday by federal authorities in Manhattan. Pharmacist Richard Sharippa was listed with the alias The Mask Man, as he was charged with hoarding and price gouging scarce N95 masks. His attorney declined to comment. Federal authorities arrested New Jersey used car salesman Ronald Romano in a separate case, accusing him of trying to get New York City to pay $45 million for equipment that he didn't have. A message was left with his lawyer seeking comment. There are dangerous blood clots that can cause strokes and other life-threatening problems, and they're being increasingly reported in coronavirus patients. Even tiny clots that can cause damage and can damage tissue throughout the body have been seen in hospitalized patients and in autopsies. This feature of the disease is now confounding doctors' understanding of what was simply mainly considered a respiratory infection. It's also raising some questions about prevention and treatment. Some conditions that make some COVID-19 patients vulnerable to severe complications, including obesity and diabetes, can increase the clot risks. But many authorities believe how the virus attacks and the way the body responds plays a role. And this past Memorial Day weekend, people were marking it with car convoys and small ceremonies instead of big parades as the virus has reshaped the solemn holiday, blending tributes to virus victims and frontline workers with the traditional remembrance of the nation's war dead. In a year that marks the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II, veterans wore masks and saluted on Monday while standing at social distancing intervals at observances that have been shrunk by virus precautions. At the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum in Manhattan, where the governor delivered his daily briefing, Governor Cuomo honored both veterans and essential workers on a Memorial Day he called, quote, especially poignant and powerful. There is other news of this Wednesday to address, and we will address those when the update with Brandon and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Wednesday. Back in Manhattan, a video of a verbal dispute between a white woman, walking her dog off a leash, and a black man birdwatching in Central Park is now sparking accusations of racism. The cell phone recording by birdwatcher Christian Cooper shows Amy Cooper calling police to frantically report that she was being threatened by a, quote, an African-American man. The confrontation happened early Monday morning when Christian Cooper said he noticed Amy Cooper had let her dog off its leash against the rules in the Ramble, which is a secluded section of Central Park that's popular with birdwatchers. The widely watched video posted on social media resulted in an announcement by Amy Cooper's employers yesterday that they were firing her despite her public plea for forgiveness. There's a Virginia nurse who has now been reunited with the New York firefighter who saved her from a burning building nearly 40 years ago. The New York Daily News reports that Deidre Taylor, who's working in New York to fight the pandemic, was reunited on Monday with retired FDNY firefighter Eugene Puglisi. Puglisi, a Vietnam Marine Corps veteran, said Taylor and her mother from a burning building in Soho 37 years ago. Taylor says she thought she would never have the opportunity to thank Puglisi for his bravery. She says that the fire reshaped her life and that she knew she was given a second chance. Across the border from us in Connecticut, in Wilmington, the wife of a man that was killed in a machete attack said yesterday that the college student suspected in that and another killing was looking for a young woman he knew when he began his rampage. University of Connecticut senior Peter Manfredonia is a fugitive in the killing that killed that young woman's 62-year-old neighbor in Wilmington. Police say he is also believed to have killed a high school friend who was found dead on Sunday about 70 miles away. Manfredonia was last reported seen in Pennsylvania on Sunday and is the target of a search involving police and the FBI. Speaking of that surge, a man that matched the description of that fugitive college student was last seen in northeastern Pennsylvania, but an hours-long search overnight came up empty. Police in Druria, Pennsylvania, say that a firefighter spotted a man with a large backpack behind a business shortly after 11 o'clock last night, but he fled. Authorities say that the man fit the description of University of Connecticut senior Peter Manfredonia, was reportedly last seen on Sunday about 50 miles away in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Police say that Manfredonia is wanted for the machete killing on Friday and a fatal shooting last weekend in Connecticut. Overseas in London, the former boss of the New York City subway, Andy Byford, has now been named London's new transport commissioner. He will oversee transport for London's vast network of subways, buses, trams, and trains. TfL says that Byford will start work on June 29th during a time of crisis for the network. TfL has received a £1.6 billion, that's about $1.96 billion in American dollars, a government bailout amid this lockdown, which has seen revenue from fares plummet by 95%. Byford said that transit systems around the world will face a, quote, huge challenge as they try to restart. You may remember, of course, Byford resigned as president of the New York City Transit back in February after 2 years of trying to improve the Big Apple's often frustrating subway and bus systems. And over in South Brunswick in New Jersey, a New York City man and a New Jersey woman were killed in a head-on crash on a major highway in central Jersey. Authorities say 24-year-old Michael Santana of Staten Island was driving his car northbound on Route 130 in South Brunswick when he lost control of the vehicle Monday morning. The vehicle spun out, crossed over the median, and crashed head-on into a southbound car driven by 55-year-old Zareen Arshikayan of Lawrenceville. Both Santana and Arshikayan were pronounced dead at the scene. And while the cause of the accident remains under investigation, authorities say that speed was likely a factor. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Wednesday from Midland Beach, we'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We are going to talk some sports and talk about how the NHL is going to abandon the regular season and go straight to the playoffs with 24 teams instead of 16. We will address what happened on this day in history, and then we will talk the latest national news, including how the SpaceX rocket is ready to boost two NASA astronauts into orbit from the Kennedy Space Center. We will address that and more when the update of Brandon Julian OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Sterling, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now's the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so if you have a fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going in. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Of all the radio stations in New York, we just happen to be one of them. This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Because the MTA is running an essential service plan for essential employees only, service on most lines will be running a frequency of at least every 10 to 30 minutes. Also, there's no scheduled service on the B, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7, C, D, J, N, Q, or R trains. and the subways close every night for clean from 1 to 5 a.m. More info at mta.info/overnight.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Wednesday. In the NHL, they're going to be abandoning the rest of the regular season and go straight into the playoffs with 24 teams instead of 16 if they're able to resume play. The decision that was announced yesterday by Commissioner Gary Bettman is not a guarantee, though, that the games are coming back. The NHL and the NHL Players' Association must still figure out health and safety protocols and solve other issues, including where to play. Still, ironing out the format represents significant progress since global sports were largely shut down back in March as the outbreak turned into a pandemic. Bettman has said that the goal has always been to play again and award the Stanley Cup, but the details remain uncertain. Instead of limiting the cup chase to the usual 16 teams that qualify for the playoffs, the league and players agreed to expand the field to 24 of its 31 teams because of the unusual circumstances. The top four teams in each conference, ranked by points percentage, will play separate round-robin tournaments to determine the seeding. The remaining 16 teams will be seeded by conference. Games are expected to be played in two hub cities, and Bettman said that 10 are in the running: Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, Dallas, Las Vegas, Pittsburgh, and Minneapolis /St. Paul in the U.S., and Edmonton, Toronto, and Vancouver in Canada. And finally, MLB players are said to be extremely disappointed with a sliding scale comparison proposal by the big league teams. Players had expected a 50-50 revenue sharing plan that owners initially approved for their negotiators on May 11th. Instead, major league teams proposed a scale that would allow a rookie at the major league minimum to keep about 47% of his original salary this year, while multi-millionaire stars like Mike Trout and Gerrit Cole would lose more than 77%. The union says the sides also remain far apart on health and safety protocols aimed at starting the virus-delayed season around July 4th. When we return on the update this Wednesday from Midland Beach, we will address what happened on this day in history. And then we will talk of the latest national news, including how Tropical Storm Bertha has made landfall on South Carolina's coast shortly after it formed, becoming the second named storm before the official start of the Atlantic hurricane season. We'll address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one,
make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two,
virtual playdates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three,
tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian, OTR. Podcast exclusive, of course, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, continuing our Staten Island series today from Midland Beach. This started off as such a beautiful sunny day. Many people, I'm sure, were going to go soak up some sun, probably wait in the water a little bit. But now, at least out here, it's gotten cloudy, and the fog has been on and off at times. I remember when we started the show, which was only about 20 or so minutes ago. Then it was foggy. You couldn't really even see that far in front of you. But my, has the weather changed in such a short period of time? Let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this May the 27th. Highlight of his day came in 1935 when the U.S. Supreme Court in Schechter Poultry Corporation v. United States unanimously struck down the National Industrial Recovery Act, a key component of President FDR's New Deal legislative program. In 1199, King John of England was crowned in Westminster Abbey nearly 2 months after the death of his brother, Richard I, the Lionhearted. In 1861, Chief Justice Roger Taney, sitting as a federal circuit court judge in Baltimore, ruled that President Abraham Lincoln lacked the authority to suspend the writ of habeas corpus. Lincoln disregarded the ruling. In 1896, 255 people were killed when a tornado struck St. Louis, Missouri, and East St. Louis, Illinois. In 1912, golf legend Sam Snead was born in Ashwood, Virginia. Also, author John Cheever was born in Quincy, Massachusetts. In 1933, the Chicago World's Fair, celebrating a century of progress, officially opened. Also, Walt Disney's Academy Award-winning animated short, The Three Little Pigs, was first released. In 1941, the British Royal Navy sank the German battleship Bismarck off France, with a loss of some 2,000 lives, 3 days after the Bismarck sank the HMS Hood with the loss of more than 1,400 lives. Also, amid the rising world tensions, President FDR proclaimed an, quote, unlimited national emergency during a radio address from the White House. In 1942, Doris Dory Miller, a cook aboard the USS West Virginia, became the first African-American to receive the Navy Cross for displaying, quote, extraordinary courage and disregard for his own personal safety during Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor. In 1968, the U.S. Supreme Court in United States v. O'Brien upheld the conviction of David O'Brien for destroying his draft card outside a Boston courthouse, ruling that the act was not protected by freedom of speech. In 1993, 5 people were killed in a bombing at the Uffizi Museum of Art in Florence, Italy. Some 3 dozen paintings were ruined or damaged. In 1994, Nobel Prize-winning author Alexander Solzhenitsyn returned to Russia to the emotional cheers of thousands after spending 2 decades in exile. In 1995, actor Christopher Reeve was left paralyzed when he was thrown from his horse during a jumping event in Charlottesville, Virginia. And in 1998, Michael Fortier, the government's star witness in the Oklahoma City bombing case, was sentenced to 12 years in prison after apologizing for not warning anyone about the deadly plot. Fortier was freed in January of 2006. When we return on the update this Wednesday from Midland Beach, we will address the latest national news, including how the International Labor Organization. They say that more than 1 out of 6 young people have stopped working during the pandemic, and they're warning of long-term fallout that could lead to a, quote, lockdown generation if steps aren't taken to ease the crisis. We'll address that and more when the update of Brian and Julian OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Pass it on. This time of upheaval is causing me to look a little deeper inside myself, looking for some goodness. And this is what I've found. I'm more aware of my neighbor's well-being. I'm saying thanks to those who help keep my life as normal as possible. My mail carrier, my grocery cashier, my delivery person. I find myself caring about others instead of just looking out for myself. And oh, my goodness, does it feel good? Goodness is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update, Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today from our road stop today, Midland Beach in Staten Island, continuing our Staten Island series. Let us address the latest national news on this Wednesday, and most of these are non-coronavirus related. We begin out in Cape Canaveral down in Florida, where a SpaceX rocket is ready to boost two NASA astronauts into orbit from Kennedy Space Center. The launch this afternoon will be the first of Americans from the U.S. in nearly a decade, and SpaceX will be the first private company to put astronauts in orbit. Riding aboard the new SpaceX Dragon capsule for the historic flight will be veteran NASA astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Beneken, bound for the International Space Station. The weather, of course, has been a concern because of the threat of rain and clouds. Liftoff is set for 4:33 this afternoon in Florida. Speaking of Florida, let's go down to Miami and stay in Florida, I should say. Because Tropical Storm Bertha has made landfall on South Carolina's coast shortly after it formed, becoming the second named storm before the official start of this year's Atlantic hurricane season. The U.S. National Hurricane Center says a tropical storm warning has been issued for South Carolina's coast, and the storm is expected to bring heavy rainfall. Bertha's maximum sustained winds were around 50 miles per hour as it came ashore, but is expected to weaken to a tropical depression after moving inland. Overseas in Geneva, the International Labor Organization now says that more than one out of six young people has stopped working during the pandemic, and they're warning of long-term fallout that could lead to a, quote, lockdown generation if steps aren't taken to ease the crisis. The UN Labor Agency, in its fourth edition of its report on the impact of the pandemic on jobs, say that the equivalent of 305 million full-time jobs have been lost due to COVID-19 impacts. The impact most recently has been felt now in the Americas, the latest epicenter of the outbreak. And finally, would you get a COVID-19 vaccine if they had one? Only about half of Americans say that they would get a vaccine that the scientists working furiously to create one succeed. Another 31% simply just aren't sure, while 1 in 5 say that they'd refuse. That's according to a new survey from the Associated Press and the Center for Public Affairs Research. Worldwide, about a dozen vaccine candidates are in the early stages of testing in people or poised to begin. The findings released today show the public still has a lot of questions. U.S. health officials, though, insist that safety is the top priority as the leading vaccine candidates move into larger studies. Our thought for today is from Chang Zhu, a Chinese essayist, born in 369 BC and died in 286 BC. Our thought for today is, great wisdom is generous, petty wisdom is contagious. Great speech is impassioned, small speech cantankerous. I'm going to let you guys ponder on that. As we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Wednesday, May the 27th, 2020. That is the update on this Wednesday from Midland Beach. I'm Brandon Chilley, and we appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Be well. We continue our Staten Island series tomorrow over at Wolf's Pond Park, and I hope you can join me then.